let us offer unto God our unison prayer of confession. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, who by thy love hast made us, and through thy love hast kept us, and in thy love wouldst make us perfect, we humbly confess that we have not loved thee with all our heart and soul and mind and strength, and that we have not loved one another as Christ hath loved us. Thy life is within our souls, but our selfishness hath hindered thee. We have not lived by faith. We have resisted thy spirit. We have neglected thine inspirations. Forgive what we have been. Help us to amend what we are, and in thy spirit direct what we shall be, that thou mayest come into the full glory of thy creation in us and in all men, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And now, as our Savior Christ hath taught us, we humbly pray together, say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
lesson for the morning is written in the first epistle of John, the 4th chapter at the 7th verse. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and he who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. And in this the love of God was made manifest unto us, that God sent his only Son into the world, so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us, and sent his Son to be the expiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God, but if we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him, and he in us, because he has given us of his own Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father hath sent his Son as the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. So we know and believe the love God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. In this is love perfected with us, that we may have confidence for the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, for fear has to do with punishment, and he who fears is not perfected in love. But we love, because he first loved us. And the second lesson in the Gospel according to Mark, the 12th chapter, at the 28th verse. One of the scribes came upon and heard them disputing with one another, and seeing that Jesus answered them well, asked him, "Which commandment is first of all?" Jesus answered, "The first is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these." The scribe said to him, "You are
Let us pray. Most gracious Father, who for every new generation preparest anew thy blessing, we thy people offer this prayer of thanksgiving. For the power thou hast given us to lay hold of things unseen, for the strong sense we have that this world is not our abiding home, for our restless hearts, which nothing finite can satisfy, we give thee thanks, O God. For the invasion of our souls by thy Holy Spirit, for all human love and goodness that speak to us of thee, for the fullness of thy glory outpoured in Jesus Christ, we give thee thanks, O God, thou author of every good. Let us offer unto God our prayer of intercession for all conditions of men. Loving and Holy Spirit of God, we pray that we and all men may increasingly work together that thy will may be done on the earth, that the resources of the earth may be gathered, distributed, and used with unselfish motives and scientific skill for the benefit of all, that beauty may be given to our towns and left to our countryside, that children may be finely bred and finely trained, that there may be open ways and peace and freedom from end to end of all the earth, that all men may learn goodwill through keeping thy company. And let us offer unto God our prayer of intercession for our own country. At this season of remembrance, we commend unto thee our country, so distraught in its thinking, so puzzled in its acting as it seeks to serve both thee and mammon. Help each of us to remember that unless thou dost build the nation, we labor in vain as we seek to put it together. Recall to us our forebears who came here because they wanted freedom to worship thee. Help us to be in spirit their children. Recall to us our ancestors who made this country America, independent, free, and help us to preserve in it the independence and freedom which allows us to worship thee and serve others. Christ's name. And let us offer unto God our prayer of supplication that we may always have his Spirit. Eternal God, in whom is our health and our peace, how may we utter our need of thee? Our minds need thee to give them poise. Our understand ourselves. Grant unto us a healing, heartening consciousness of thy presence, as revealed in Jesus Christ, our Lord, and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with us all, evermore. Amen.
hearing in faith and acting in obedience, we may ever glorify thy name through Christ our Lord. Amen. For a text, we take a phrase from the epistle which was read for our first lesson. We love because he first loved us. Concerning the love of God for us, it might be said that there is nothing we need more urgently or find more difficult to believe in than this. We need, of course, to believe that God loves us. We cannot live even without human love. An unwanted infant may receive the best of scientific care, but if he does not receive love, he languishes and dies. A boy may go out into the street from an unloving home, either with or without plenty of money in his pocket, and he soon becomes a juvenile delinquent. And multitudes of people perpetuate, not only in their own adult years, but in the lives of their children, the same fears and anxieties and hostilities that are caused by the perversion of or the want of love in their own childhood. To be unwanted, to be forced to live, but at the same time not to be loved, can become so unendurable that men will take to crime, to war, to rebellion, in an effort to claim for themselves the heritage of being loved and accepted, which life has denied. We need, if life is to be endurable at all, we need to be loved by other people. How much more we need the assurance that we are loved by God. How, indeed, are we to endure and to come triumphant through the evil and tragedy that beset human history and that fall inescapably in some measure upon us all without the sustaining confidence that through all of this, God loves us and his love prevails? Well, of course, we're always trying to work out our own ways of overcoming our misfortunes and our sufferings without taking God into account. Sometimes we attempt it by denying that evil exists at all, except as a kind of illusion in our inconstant minds. To do that may give us a kind of temporary peace, but we don't succeed in maintaining the illusion very long, and even while we do, by maintaining it, we make ourselves irrelevant to the great conflict between life and death, good and evil, that rages through human history and that is a part of the life of every individual. Or again, we attempt to set bounds to our suffering and to make ourselves safe behind defenses of our own erecting. In 1939, James Hilton, you may remember as the author of Shangri-La, wrote an essay in which he, looking ahead to the catastrophe that was about to fall on the world, in which he said that there was so much evil in the world that we cannot, we dare not, open ourselves to it all. The best we can do, said Hilton, is to make very sure of what we love and shut all the rest out entirely. Well, a great many people were trying that in 1939, and a great many more are still trying it today. this can't be done. No American standard of living, no particular pattern of life, no personal security or achievement can preserve us or be preserved against the changes of time, the forces of destruction, the last triumph of death. Only a love greater than all of these can save us. Well, can we believe that God does love us with such love? For we need desperately to be able to think that he can and that he does. Still more, and this may come somewhat as a surprise to us if we recognize it, we need to believe in the love of God in order to make the thought of God himself endurable to us. It is one thing, of course, to believe somewhat vaguely in the existence of God. It is something more to believe that he has certain attributes and powers. It is still something else to believe that among these attributes, one is the character of love. And it is still a greater thing to believe that love stands first among all the attributes of God, so preeminent, in fact, that the writer of our epistle this morning says not God does love, but simply God is love. time the truck does run him down and he is carried off to the hospital, mangled but alive. God loves me, he says gratefully. He spared my life. Mended and healed, he makes a third venture into the whirl of traffic and this time gets killed. God loves him, say his friends. He took him home. Well, now, from the point of view of the skeptic, of course, God may love this man, but he cannot be said to do so in all three instances. He cannot maintain that God loves him equally well, whether he escapes harm, or simply has his life spared, or gets killed in order to take him into eternity. Say that sort of thing from the skeptic's point of view is to throw logic to the wind. And yet it is just such an affirmation as this which the Christian makes. God can and does love the man, no matter what may happen to him. And the question whether God loves him is not to be answered by trying to identify that love with our own particular idea as to what is good or bad for the man. Indeed, it is just this mistake of measuring God's love for us by the way it fits into our own particular idea as to what his love should be that so often makes it difficult for us to believe that he loves us at all. We are not going to believe this unless it coincides with our own love for ourselves. You'll remember Herod's complaint in W.H. Auden's Christmas oratorio about the prayers of the people under his rule, how they would say to God, "Leave thy heavens and come down to our earth of water clocks and hedges. Be interesting and weak like ourselves, and we will love you as we love ourselves." All of our pain and sorrow is made up in some part of real affliction, but also it is made up of grief and bitterness that spring up because something of our own self-centered life is being denied or torn out of us. And all of our protests that God can't love me or he wouldn't let this happen to me bears the inflection our own wounded self-love. To believe that God loves us, to meet whatever may happen to us with the persuasion that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height nor depth, nor any other creature can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. To believe possible only as we are delivered from the self-calculation that sees everything through the eyes of our own desire. And when we begin to yield all that we are or desire or cherish into the hands of God in order to pass from human love to divine love, wrote Jean Guy. and at the same time give us